Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If you have your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 10 and Revelation chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. Hopefully it's going to be up there, Lord willing. I hopefully sent the right PowerPoint. It's either about that or kangaroos this morning, one of the two. So today I'd like to talk to you about the awesome fear of God. The awesome fear of God. And I don't want you to be afraid, but I want you to tremble. I don't want you to flee, but I want you to fall down in worship. And you're going to see the distinction between being afraid of God and being in awesome reverence of a most holy and powerful God. Amen. Now, I want to start by saying God loves you and I. I don't want you to hear anything else that God loves you, but God is a God of paradox. We don't like paradox is holding two equal truths at the same time. For example, if you've ever been to a funeral home, you're sad, right? But at the same time, you're laughing. You remember when Fred did this, and you're laughing and you're crying at the same time? That's a paradox. Our God is a paradoxical God. He is a God of love, but he's also a God of holiness and wrath and fear and power and honor and glory. And so I want you to be able to experience God. Pastor Todd is one of the most loving people I have ever met. Can we get an amen for his love? Yes. Now you're going to get something a little bit different. You're going to get the power of God today, because I want you to see God in his totality. But I don't want you to leave here afraid or ashamed, because that's not God. And you're going to see all of this in just a second. So the awesome fear of God at his next great move on earth. Amen? Amen. All right, give me one person, raise your hand. Who's the most famous person you've ever met? Raise your hand. Most famous person? Someone? Raise your hand. All right, Ed.
George Bush.
Which one? There's like eight of them. Number two. All right, President Bush. The second most famous. Oh, yes.
Dr. Ben Carson.
Woo. Ah, name droppers over here. I got one now. Yes, go ahead.
President Trump.
Oh, yay. All right. All right. Well, the second most famous person I ever met was a man named Gordie Howe. He's one of the greatest hockey players, Mr. Hockey, if you know anything about Detroit sports. Amazing thing. I won't get to that story today because we don't have all that time, but I met Gordie Howe. All right, so second question I have for you. What is the most awe-inspiring experience you've ever had? Awe-inspiring experience that you've ever had. Somebody? Yes?
My daughter being healed of crippling arthritis.
That would do. A miraculous healing will do. Hello. Amen. Anybody else? Salvation, amen. If you've ever seen the birth of a child, that's miraculous. For my grandparents, who were born in the late 1800s, when they came to my home when I was a child in 1969, and we all watched the moon landing. And they sat at the TV, and remember, in their lifetime, there were no airplanes at first. Then there were propeller airplanes, and now a man is landing on the moon, and they sat there, and they just couldn't believe that Neil Armstrong was walking on the moon. That was my second most amazing experience. The most famous person I've ever met, and the most amazing experience I've ever had, and some of you know this story, I'd like to tell you how I met Jesus. And you'll see why I'm telling you this story, because we're going to get into Daniel 10. Daniel might have had the same experience. John the Revelator might have had the same experience. Moses might have had the same experience. The disciples may have had the exact same experience. So here we go. I went to college at Miami of Ohio. If you were back then a Redskin, but we're not allowed to say that anymore, so now we're a Red Hawk in Southern Ohio. And I'm going to give you the short version. So there I was in my dorm room alone, and the door to my dorm room in college was closed and locked. This is very important for you to know. And I had been seeking the Lord, I had this flippant, prideful attitude. And I said, okay, Jesus, if you're really who you say, the smug, young, cocky person, if you're really who you say you are, prove it. And he walked through the closed and locked door. Immediately when he walked in, he's absolutely holy. I knew immediately it was Jesus, and I fell down. I didn't fall towards him because I was afraid, and I fell down to my left, and all I saw was I was eating tile. Because he's absolutely holy, and he's absolutely perfect, and he's powerful and amazing. He is beyond our comprehension. The only thing I could do is fall face first. And my first recollection of that moment, other than I knew it was Jesus, is that I had sin in my life. I hadn't gone to church. I didn't know the sinner's prayer. I couldn't have told you this or that about Jesus. I didn't know. And there was just a tremendous weight, and I started shaking, and I can't describe it. It's the worst, like if you've ever been shaking, but it's beyond cold. It's beyond whatever. And I said, I'm going to die. I'm going to die right here in this dorm room because you can't be in the presence of God and not die. And I didn't know what to do. And I knew the second thing, other than knowing it was Jesus and that he's absolutely holy and I had sinned, the next thing was I knew that in my heart I had hurt his heart. Sin isn't what you do or don't do, though don't do certain things. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Todd kicks counselor off stage during sermon. It's not what you do or you don't do. It's your heart. The Pharisees and the Sadducees did everything right. There have been many, many people who do everything right, but their hearts hurt Jesus' heart. And I didn't know the sinner's prayer, so I said, Jesus, forgive me for hurting your heart. And immediately that weight, that sin, immediately left me. I don't know. It was like a giant vacuum is the best way I can put it. Like immediately it went and I was clean. If you've ever been in the presence of the Lord, if you've ever been in the fear of God, you will know the fear of God is clean. The word of God, it says, is pure. He is the word of God. He is pure and clean, cleaner than any mountain stream, cleaner than any air that you could breathe at 14,000 feet. I can't describe how clean and pure you feel in the presence of God. And that's where I want you to be today. I don't want you to run away. I want you to understand that he's cleansed you. But I still couldn't stand. And I stopped shaking and I started weeping because immediately waves of liquid love hit me. Wave after wave for hours. Wave after wave. And I was miraculously saved. And so he is love. But before love comes fear of the Lord. Before love comes respect of the Lord. Before love comes fear and honor and glory of the Lord. Does that make sense? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I might have had the same experience as a guy named Daniel. Let's go to slide number 5, please. Oh, yay, it's the right slide. Yay, thank you. He's standing by the Tigris River. Verse 5, and Daniel looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen. Now, if you know where this is, it's also found in Revelation 1, a little bit in 2, and in Revelation 19. So there might be a repeat performance. That's why we're going to get to. I looked up there, and there was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Euphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude. Now, if you know anything about Daniel, he is on the dream team of the most righteous men ever to walk the face of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
He might be on Mount Rushmore, but he I don't know if he's there, but he's certainly on the dream team, basketball players. Anyway, so here we go. You would think Daniel, being a righteous man, a man that stood up to the lions, that he would stand, right? He would be able to stand in the presence of the Lord. Can I get an amen? No. Yeah, exactly. I, Daniel, was the only one that saw the vision. This is slide 6. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. We see this when Moses was on Mount Sinai. Israel fled. We see that sometimes the disciples stayed and others fled, right? But if you know God, you'll stay. But this is how you'll stay in the presence of the Lord. I was left alone gazing at the great vision and the great man of God. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale. That's the best way I can describe my experience. It's like the blood flow just left me. I probably looked like a ghost. I don't know how better to say it. I'm on the floor. Everything floods or goes away from you, and I was helpless. When I was on the floor at Miami of Ohio, I wasn't getting up. There's no getting up unless the Lord allows you to get up in his presence, and I want you to understand the glory of God. And then I heard him speaking, and I listened to him. And I like how the NIV says it. And I fell into a deep sleep. It's not you're in a deep sleep. It's almost like you've passed out, but you were fully aware of his presence. Everything other than the understanding and focus of Jesus himself goes away. You are not aware of anything around you other than Jesus himself. I fell into a deep sleep in my face. I was on the ground. The only thing I saw of Jesus during that revelation was his feet. I wasn't going to look up. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. This is slide 7. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Carefully consider the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And he said this to me. I stood up really good, strengthened, powerful, trembling. If you want to know God, it's time to tremble. Jim is apparently in a few weeks going to speak on the awe of God. We literally were talking. He goes, what are you going to preach on? I said, the awe of God. He goes, oh, doggone it. He goes, that's what I'm going to preach on. Diana had a word about the power of God. What I'm saying to you is, when the disciples saw Jesus coming to them on the boat, they freaked out, and Jesus said, don't be afraid, right? When Daniel's freaking out, Jesus goes, don't be afraid. I don't know how you would not be afraid, Jesus. And he stood up trembling, and he said, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. If you are a perfectionist here, don't worry, you're set free, because you can't be holy enough. If you're a striver, I want to be holy, I want to do everything for God, God wants to set you free because you can never do enough. There's the gap between Jesus and you and I is too great, except for the grace of Jesus. And you're going to see this in a second. So you be set free. All he wants you to do is set your heart to say, Jesus, I'm weak and I'm helpless and sometimes I sin and sometimes I disappoint you, but that's not the point here. I seek, I fear, all I see is you. Today, if you don't see anybody else in this sermon, I want you to see one person. His name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ. There are three righteous people in this service today. Do you want me to point them out? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the rest of us, not so much. Amen? Amen. All right. Why do I say this? Proverbs 9:10, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. It's the fear that draws us closer to receive revelation. There's no punishment. There's no condemnation. There's no, you need to run away in shame. There's none of that. While he was saying this to me, this is slide 8, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then the one looked like a man, touched my lips. Let me stop here. The only way in his presence that you can speak is when he touches your lips. Ask Isaiah, ask Daniel, ask Moses, ask Jeff. There's no words. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are so much higher than I that you stand and you can't even speak because you're standing in the presence of greatness. And Daniel said, I'm overcome with anguish because of the vision of the Lord. I feel very weak. How can I talk? My strength is gone and I can hardly speak. And look at this, verse 18. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. I need you to understand that none of us are worthy of being esteemed by the Lord, but all of us who know him are esteemed because he loves us. Because he chose you and you and you before the foundation of the world. It has nothing to do with what you've done or not done. It has nothing to do with your great faith or not faith. It has to do with his great compassion. When Moses was wanting to see his presence, the Lord came by and it says his kindness. Was it Moses or maybe it was Elijah? I can't remember. Passed by. It was his kindness. Daniel, the most holy man, one of the most holy men, is seeing this vision. We see this repeated in Revelation 1 and Revelation 19. Let's go to slide 10. I saw heaven standing open before there was me, was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. So let me stop here. The reason I'm preaching this sermon is the next time Jesus comes back, it's not going to be pretty. It is not going to be Psalm 23, Kumbaya. And I don't mean to bring you fear. I come with good news. I'm deeply concerned about this nation and where we're headed. He's going to make it right. I'm deeply concerned how some people behave or don't behave. Don't worry. I have good news. He's going to make it right. I'm deeply concerned how I behave. Amen? Oh, don't point fingers. Anyways, and he's going to make it right. And he's not going to make it right because you've somehow earned it, or you've read the Bible enough, or you've heard Pastor Todd's sermons enough. It's because he is faithful and true. Amen? Amen. All right. With justice, he's going to bring justice to this world. Again, some of the decisions that are being made in certain courts in this earth, in this country are not justice. With justice, he judges and wages war. His eyes, and here we go, like Daniel 10, are like blazing fire. His head is on many crowns. He has a name written that no one knows except he himself. Next slide, verse 11. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven are coming with him. Guess who's going to come with him? We are. And I would say your name, but just to let you know, you're going to have a new name by then. I don't know what it is. So I can't say Todd's going to come with him because Todd's going to have a new name. Jim, I can't say Jim's going to come with him. He's going to give you a new name. The armies of heaven were following him, also riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. There we go, clean again. Some of you are worried that you're dirty. Some of you are worried that you're insufficient. Some of you are worried that you won't quite make it. Some of you are worried that, well, you know, I swore last Tuesday and I spit in the wind on Thursday, and therefore, God, and there's all this condemnation. I talk to Christians all the time. There's all this shame and condemnation. I say to you, because God is all-powerful, he chooses you, and he chooses to give you a robe that is pure and white. He chooses his herd of white horses, and he says, get on, brothers and sisters, we're going for a ride. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. Coming out of his mouth, slide 12, is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them lovingly and kind, because Jesus is loving. What does the scripture say? With an iron scepter. No more shenanigans. No more lies. No more sin. He treads the winepress of fury of the wrath of the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. And I purposely didn't put it up here because I want to do something. This side, when I point at you, I want you to say King of Kings. This side, when I point at you, I want you to say Lord of Lords. This side, you can be bipolar and say them both. All right, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you ready? Yeah. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the
King of Kings.
And who?
Lord of Lords.
He is the King of
Kings
and
Lord of Lords.
Yeah. This has nothing to do about you and I, does it? I have a king, and his name is Jesus. And he is above every president and prime minister and judge. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is astonishing. He is breathtaking. He is astounding. He will shock you. He is stunning, and he is marvelous. You want a superhero? I got one for you. He rides a white horse, and he's got a sword coming out of his mouth. You see what Superman does with that. And you go, but I like love. Look at Hebrews, next slide, Hebrews 12. Since we are receiving, Jim talked about this, a kingdom, right? That is unshakable. Let us be thankful and please God while worship him in love. Is that what it says? What does it say? The scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This isn't taught a lot to the American churches because we don't like this so much. We like love. What the world needs now is love, sweet.
Love.
You didn't think I would do Burt Bacharach today, did you? The start of a process, a true process of a relationship with God, starts with fear. It then proceeds to worship, and then it proceeds to love. Let me tell you a story. There's a great pastor that is talking now about the awe of God. His name is John Bevere. And John Bevere, have you heard, you know, how many of you know who John Bevere is? Oh, if you don't, look it up. Look him up. He's amazing. He has a new revelation talking about the awe of God, because I sense this was, and Todd will tell you, I sense this was the next move. He stole my stuff. Jim is going to, I don't know, he's going to talk about it. This is the present word of God. So here we go. John Bevere was called several years ago to go visit Jim Baker in jail. Anybody remember Jim Baker? If you don't remember who he was a televangelist, did a number of naughty things, and we all do naughty things, amen? Okay, but he did a number of naughty things, and he went to jail. And he asked for John Bevere to come visit him in jail. So John Bevere went there, and they exchanged pleasantries, and one of the first questions that John Bevere asked is, Jim, how could you love Jesus and do all of these sinful things? And Jim Baker replied this way, I love Jesus with all my heart, but I don't fear him. In America, we've lost respect. We've lost respect for authority, for moms and dads and teachers and police officers and. I know a teacher in a local school district. The student came up, and I can't repeat the same language because Todd would have to wash my mouth out with holy soap. And the student came up and started screaming obscenities. This is very recent to the teacher, and said, and you can't do a thing to me. The youngest generation no longer fears that. When I was growing up at Frank Elementary, my principal was Mr. Frank. He was 6'3", booming voice, and he had the Board of Education. Amen? Nowadays, he'd probably be in jail. Let me get a little personal first, and then we're going to end on a good note. If God doesn't want you to gossip, are you gossiping? I find that many Christians have okay sins. I find this all the time. Don't do naughty things. But did you hear about Jim Pinkelman? Todd will verify that he knows people that have been slandered recently, don't you, Todd? False things that were brought against this person, slanderous. Things that could have had legal and long-lasting implications. And it's just how this person is. And they're a church leader. I'm going to say one more thing. Because I want you to be free. And I sense that as Christians, we often tolerate sin. And I'm going to hit, hopefully, where a lot of us are. Do you have unforgiveness in your heart? Unforgiveness towards yourself? Unforgiveness towards another? Unforgiveness toward the Lord? May I quote the scripture? God said, if you forgive others, I will forgive you. But if you do not forgive, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Oh, God will forgive me of everything. We're messing with a holy God here. And I say this not to condemn you, because I've struggled with unforgiveness. Probably all of us have struggled. Can I get an amen with unforgiveness? He wants to free you from anything that doesn't bring him joy and pleasure. He wants to free you so you can fully love him and serve him and worship him. This is not a condemnation sermon. This is about being free and serve the most holy God. And he gets to choose what's sin, and he gets to choose what's blessing. What do you think about that, guys? And you say, I've tried a million times to forgive. You don't have the power. You don't have the ability. It's not about you. Go before him, get on your face and say, Jesus, I don't want to forgive. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. I've tried to do it. It's impossible. And what's impossible with you is possible with him. He will set you free. Amen? We're getting there. All right, slide 14, because God says, come, O children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Let's keep going. Slide 15. God is saying in Deuteronomy 5, oh, that they, the people of God, had such a heart in me that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments that it might be well with them. See, he wants you to keep commandments so it'll be well with you and with your children. Let's keep going. We're almost done, I promise. I'm really fun. Oh, it's okay. And this is important. Deuteronomy 10. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Most Christians answer to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's not what he says. Even in the greatest commandment, the first command and the greatest commandment is hear, O Israel. And he's repeating it here. He says, hear and fear, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. He says, if you love me, you'll do what I command, right? To love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. What is it to fear the Lord? Is to bow your face in awe, to be awestruck, to be incapable of doing anything other than what God desires, to be completely submissive to him. Let's skip all the way to verse 19. I know. I mean slide 19. And here's what fearing the Lord is. Fearing the Lord is serving him with a delighted heart, doing everything he tells us to do. I want to give you a definition of love, and I hope you'll write this one down because it's good. Love is loving someone else in a way that's meaningful to them. Let me say it again. Love is loving someone else in a way that's meaningful to them. There's ways to love. I can selfishly love as in it's all about me, right? Me, 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 do, re, me, right? That's my favorite note in the song. It's possible in a relationship, I'm going to love you how I want to love you. So I'm going to, you know, if I'm in a relationship, I'm going to give you tickets to WWE wrestling. And you might hate WWE wrestling. That's selfish. If I want to love Pastor Todd, I'm going to talk about the Cleveland Guardians. If I love Jim, I'm going to talk about the prophetic and some other things. Does that make sense? If you want to love Jesus, you've got to love him in the ways that he is revealed here, the way he's revealed from this pulpit, the way he's revealed from the prophetic. He's told you how he wants to be loved. And now, people of God, it's time for us to love him in ways that are meaningful to him. He gets to set the agenda. Amen? Slide 20, for God is coming a second time, and he's coming to a theater near you and me. And he's coming in the way that he came to Daniel, and he came to John the Revelator, and he came to me, and he came to Moses, and he came to disciples. It's repeated all throughout the scripture. He came to Daniel as the King of Kings and the Lord, and John the Revelator is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came to Daniel as the Ancient of Days. He is coming again, and he is fearsome and awesome, and nothing is outside of his view, and he will make all things right, including you and I. So therefore, we must fear God with a delighted and joyful heart. I didn't get to this because we're running out of time here. You got to do what you got to do. Well, let's go to slide 17. I want to end with this. Slide 17. Oh, yay. Someone read that for me, please.
Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his
name. I leave you with this. It's all about your heart. Have you ever been around people that they do what they're supposed to do, or they celebrate your birthday, but it's called suck the life right out of you. Can I get an amen? Sorry, did I say that loud? You want people to have a great heart when they're celebrating your birthday or people's birthdays like this week, right? When you go out to lunch or dinner, you want people to have good attitude. I mean, not that you can't suffer things, but there's a good heart, right? When your child is sick and you're exhausted and you have no strength left, it's better to have a good heart. Say, yep, we'll get through this. Other than, he's going to correct those people who are in the rams. Because he wants you to have delight in your heart. And if you don't, go before him and say, Lord, I got the Eeyore in my heart. I got the spirit of Eeyore in my heart. Amen. Amen. Anyways, I got the spirit of Eeyore in my heart. Confess to him, because he wants you to walk in the great delight of serving him. There's so much goodness, but it's all found in his glory. So I want to pray with you. We'll go from there, and we won't do Eeyore anymore. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of sharing the word of God, sharing what Daniel experienced, what I experienced, what Moses and John the Revelator and the disciples and Isaiah all experienced. You're all the same. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every time we encounter you in holiness, we fall face first because you are glorious. This world isn't about us, it's about you. May we learn to walk in your presence and in your glory. If today people are struggling with shame, I pray in the name of Jesus, your glory would heal it instantaneously. They would be encouraged, just as Daniel had no strength, but God said to him, you are highly esteemed. I delight in you. Be strong. Be at peace. I speak strength and peace in Jesus' name to those who are under condemnation and shame. You are free by the power of God. And for those who are struggling with anything else, they're free. Go before the Lord. Humble yourselves. Admit that you have no strength, that he will exalt you in due season. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we stand up, let's go ahead and stand up, get ready for praise and worship. Before we praise, have a final song of praise and worship. Understand what you just heard is something that most of the church is not hearing, doesn't even know. And yet it is so key and elemental for where we're at and for where we're going. I've told you guys before, my belief is the farther we get away from the past, the closer we get, because we're in the last generation, and the closer we get to his return, the more revelation there is, the more understanding that there is. And what Jeff shared, that is a word of truth, and it's understanding. I've told you before, I love reading sermons from the colonial era and from the revolutionary era. And you can read those things, and you can tell by reading those things, what Jeff just shared with us was something that wasn't understood. It wasn't even contemplated, but it's revelation for us today. So remember those things, and we'll build on that. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all you have blessed us with. We now enter in once again to a time of blessing you and praising you. It's our heart's desire that we understand and know you and see you in the ways that have just been revealed to us by your word. So we give you praise from the depths of our hearts. Just let this, as we praise you in this final song, let some revelation come to us from the things that we've heard. Let that revelation speak to us. You be glorified. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's close in praise and worship.